Sefolufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
21 minutes after the hour. Hey, check this out. On the Rocks Liquor, if you can believe this, they're celebrating their 10-year anniversary. They're going to be having giveaways all day today at the store. Food, fun, all day. Come in and sign up for prizes and everything. So it's a heck of a deal. On the Rocks Liquor, they've been with us since we started this program, and we love to have them on board. Our Game Beer of the Week. Maybe enjoy one of those Game Beers of the Week and watch... Colorado State, Boise State tonight is Horse and Dragon Brewing in Fort Collins. It's the Whistle Blast Honey Brown Ale. Get it for a discount at On the Rocks Liquor. 21 minutes after the hour. Huge game tonight. Boise State, Colorado State. It's officially my game of the week. Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, my man, this is huge. I'm looking at Boise State stretch down the road, and they have a lot of hard games coming up. The Rams are right there. This conference is right there for the taking. It's sitting right in front of Colorado State.
Yeah, this is, I think I tweeted the other night that it's lively right now. The Mountain West is getting really exciting because teams are starting to beat each other at the top. Obviously, CSU has wins over San Diego State and Boise State, or Utah State, I should say. Utah State just lost to UNLV the other night. The one that's unblemished is Boise State. But as you mentioned, their schedule's super backload. They beat up on all the bottom teams, which obviously you have to do. That's important. But they finished the season. Their last five series are all teams that are 2 through 6 in the conference right now. So it's really exciting. I think this is going to be an awesome final, you know, 5 or 6 weeks to end the season here.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Rams, a split, even if you split this thing, I mean, even if you can't find a way in these two, it's still way up in the air. But I would say that if you're the Rams, man, a split would be absolutely huge. Because like you said, the Broncos are at Nevada. They have UNLV, which I've heard you talk about, UNLV. You think they're a much better team than their record shows. Utah State, San Diego State. This is a heck of a moment, this one tonight, and then later on Friday too for the Rams.
Yeah, it is in so many ways. Like you say, you know, CSU's 2 back of Boise State, so if they were to sweep, they'd be, you know, tied for first in the conference, which obviously is huge. A split, I totally agree. I think honestly, I think both teams wouldn't leave too sad with a split. And then you throw in the fact Boise State is ranked 15th in the net rankings, which are the all-important metric for NCAA tournament bids. You know, it's sort of the new RPI, which is, you know, it's a lot better and more inclusive than the RPI. And so for CSU, it's a chance to pick up a quad one win, which is, you know, quad one is the most important. And for Boise, likewise, CSU would be a quad one win for them. So just so many different factors you can touch on here. It's a huge series.
Yeah, I'm reading a lot of those same things, you know, just random outlets talking about who's in, who's out. And a lot of them kind of have this one tonight when you're looking at Colorado State saying this could really be a big thing as far as the Rams, if there's an at-large bid for the Rams. And again, they could win the tournament, they could win the regular season, but for an at-large, this is a huge moment for them, you know, splitting with Utah State, splitting with San Diego State. Yeah, this is one of those games where you look at and say this is a marquee victory. If you can even grab one of these games. Kevin, talk to us about Boise State, number one in points per game in the conference, 81 points. This is just kind of a, when you look at their starting roster, a lot of great players, but kind of a group that can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you're spot on there, and that's what Nico Medved was talking about when we spoke yesterday, is there are just so many ways they can be. You know, some teams, for instance, you go to Utah State, and you know that you need to try and find a way to at least control Nemias Keita a little bit. Boise doesn't really have that. Derek Alston is a star. He'll play in the NBA. But they have so many other guys that if Alston has an off night, they can still succeed. And that's why they have, as you suggested, probably the biggest blowout potential of teams in Mountain West. When they're clicking, they can just put up huge points. I think their average margin of victory in Mountain West play right now is something like 23 points, which, again, it's against the bottom-tier teams, but it tells you that they are taking care of business. They have done some amazing things. They go not just 1 through 5. Their bench is good. And it's a team, honestly, made up mostly of transfers, which is always a tough way to do it. But Leon Rice has really done a good job of kind of combining, you know, all the forces, and everyone seems to be working well together. So, I mean, there's Alston, there's Tigab, there's Marcus Shaver, Ray J. Dennis, a great point guard matchup against Isaiah Stevens. I mean, we can list about 10 guys for Boise that you need to watch out for.
It's just so interesting, though, when you because I've watched a couple, and then you even look at the box scores in these games with Boise. I was looking back at some of them this morning. And for the most part, yeah, they are pretty spread out. You know, the averages are right around 13 to 15 points per game. Rebounds, they're all, those top four or five are around four or five, six per game. And that's a way to win a lot of basketball games. Like you said, when you're going up against Utah State and Cata, you can kind of let him do his thing as long as you stop the rest. This is kind of a pick your poison, and if you choose poorly and, Alston decides he wants to go off tonight or a couple of these other guys say they want to make it a big game, that could be difficult. So in some cases, not having that mega superstar can be more difficult on film.
Yeah, totally. I mean, Boise's happy to have five guys that are all in the 10 to 14 point range. And yeah, it's just like you say, at the end of the game, you might say, oh, we held Alston to 10 points. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, five other guys had 10 also. When we start adding that up, you have pretty good numbers when you have five to seven guys all in double figures. So yeah, that's what makes it hard. And that also makes it hard for Boise to have a really bad night because when you're counting on one guy, I mean, we saw the other night, Cata got into foul trouble, and it disrupted what Utah State did. Whereas here, if Alston or, Dennis, Shaver, whoever have, an off-shooting night or whatever, they have ways to win beside that. So it's a really balanced team. And, looking at the big picture, it's great for the Mountain West that the marquee kind of matchup right now is CSU and Boise State. They're not your traditional Mountain West powers, so I think it speaks well to the growing quality in the Mountain West, and it's exciting overall. I think that's why you're seeing many bracket projections have several Mountain West teams.
Yeah, well, Boise State's a three-point favorite. And listen, based on the records, Kevin, and the fact that Boise only lost to a top five, top six team, that makes sense, but it's only a three-point spread. So I look at that and go, oh, wow, nationally, the wise guys, all that, they're looking at this Rams team, and no longer is this that's the young up-and-coming team. They're still young, but I think the national consensus is that the Rams can compete tonight with Boise State.
Yeah, I mean, when you go to San Diego and win and go to Utah State and win, people aren't paying attention if they don't realize that there's a team that can win. I think, like you say, they probably don't have, or they definitely don't have the consistency of, some of these super great teams, San Diego State last year, for instance. But they obviously can be very dangerous and also have, kind of the guts to just keep going and keep going and cause problems.
Their roster, it's a kind of another spread out type roster when you look at the point. Obviously, Isaiah Stevens, he's for the most part, he's what makes this team go. But in that victory against Utah State, Kevin, there were so many big moments in that one. Deshaun Thomas coming up with that stretch of 11 points there. David Roddy's still going to do his thing, and he's averaging over 15 points per game. I love watching Kendall Moore. Thistlewood, he can be that sharpshooter. I mean, there's a lot of great guys that they can just kind of like Boise State, they could go off on any night too. So if you key in on Isaiah Stevens, you have a lot of other problems to deal with this Rams team.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think there's the overall depth that Boise has, but certainly there. It's this isn't a one player show. Isaiah Stevens and David Roddy lead things, but there are other guys. And Nico Medved had an interesting point. Normally, in a normal season, you play roughly 13 or so non-conference games, which is right about where CSU is right now. So in a normal year, they'd be just heading into conference play. And, non-conference is a time to figure out, rotation for some young guys to get their feet wet. So guys like Deshaun Thomas, James Moores would kind of be just settling into their roles, whereas now it's middle of conference play. But I think we've seen that. You mentioned Deshaun Thomas had the huge game against Utah State. James Moores has been playing well. So you're seeing guys just kind of settle into roles a lot more, and it's providing the depth that CSU needs. I mean, Adam Thistlewood, a great shooter, but hasn't started the season shooting great. He's showing signs, so they're going to need some of that. CSU won't be able to lean on just Stevens and Roddy having big games in order to beat Boise State.
I think it's just been such an interesting season, even with the COVID situation, Kevin, because you and I were on this show several weeks ago before the season started talking about, oh, CSU was supposed to play UNC. What's going on there? CSU, not so sure they could even field a team to play CSU Pueblo. And even if they do, who knows what's going to happen? We don't know what to expect. And then suddenly this team's winning big time games and we're talking about them being in March Madness. So I love the fact that you bring up, this is not even, we would just now be kind of gelling and getting in the thick of it here. So that's only got to be a good sign that the Rams have recovered from, we don't even know if they can field an appropriate team to beat CSU Pueblo, to they're probably going dancing this year.
Yeah, it speaks to, like you said, kind of the youth and growth. Like, in some ways, yeah, it's time to finish talking about how young they are. But on the other hand, it's very true. I mean, most of these guys have pretty much 1.5 seasons under their belt. They've never really played postseason play because, CSU was going to be in the postseason last year. Obviously, COVID shut that down. So they also, lost their offseason development time and all that. So it all does come into play. And you're seeing, again, it takes some time to develop and grow like that.
Yeah, no question. Talking to Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and going more on the Nico Medved side. I know he's getting more and more national exposure. I didn't even know if I was going to be able to get him on the show last week with all the tweets I'm seeing about him, all this stuff. But he is, I tell you, Kevin, he's just a tremendous guy. He's an easy one to root for, but I got to admit, what is this, year three? And it's just astonishing to me to see how they play for him, how they continue to come back. They love this guy. He, I tell you, with all the negatives surrounding Colorado State to start the season, especially on the football side of things, Nico Medved, I mean, I've had some people, our own Tanner Schwint here said, dude, someday Nico Medved's going to be right up there in the talks of greats like Tad Boyle. And I mean, it's hard to argue because you look at this great start and what he's done so far.
Yeah, I mean, he's the development, the growth and the rebuild, because you can't forget where this program was when he took over. It was, to be frank, a complete disaster of a program. CSU had waited way too long to fire Larry Stacey. It had gotten really nasty and just toxic in that environment. And he's just turned it around. I mean, it all starts, I wrote about this a little bit earlier this season, when CSU got the commitments from Isaiah Stevens and especially David Roddy a couple of years ago, that was a huge turning point. We thought it was then, and now seeing those guys develop even more so proves that. And then it's just so smart how they built around those guys and some of their other pieces. They just have such a great system and I guess knowledge and understanding of what they're trying to do. It's not chaotic of, let's just get all the best players. It's no, let's find people that fit both basketball-wise and character-wise, and it's just clicking right now. I think, there's a contract extension for Medved signed before the season, and that's looking smarter every day.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you go back to Joe Parker, the contract extension with Coach Bobo, everything went south pretty much instantly after that.
Yep.
After the ink barely dried, this has been the complete opposite. So, we've talked a lot about Joe Parker this past few years about should his job be in jeopardy. Well, this is going to be one of those big time moves. All that hiring extension and all that. You talked about Larry Eustace. And we've talked about it a lot on this show. Eustace might be a great basketball mind, might be great at getting excellent players to excel. But isn't Nico Medved, if you're painting up like a prototypical coach you want in this day and age, Medved might be the guy. I've seen him in practice. Kevin, you've certainly seen him in practice in games. He can get after it. He's not pulling any punches. He will get after his guys. But he still has fun with these guys. They treat him like a friend, but a coach when it's go time. He's kind of that perfect blend.
Yeah, I love that point, Brady, and I'm actually kind of hoping to write a little bit about that idea. Because, yeah, when you just talk to, if you catch him, in normal times when we can go to practice, things like that, and just kind of are, shooting the breeze, just a super friendly, likable, nice guy. I think in some ways it puts a veil over people thinking like, oh, yeah, he's the nice guy coach, but, does that work? He's an incredible competitor. This guy does not like losing. He does not like things being done the wrong way. And he will, punch the guy, so to speak. Not obviously literally, I'm not saying that, but you know, he will make sure that the message gets across when it's not working. I mean, after the first Utah State game, all the guys have talked about, you know, they had a very uncomfortable film session the next day where they basically watched the entire game and point out, you did this wrong. This, you know, this was not the effort required. That's not okay. But it was done in a teaching, learning way, not a, you know, mocking, a type of beat down a player type of thing. It was just, this is not the expectation. And yeah, it seems to be hitting all the right buttons with this team.
Yeah, no question about it. Kevin, while we have you, man, on the football side of things, some news last week with Joey Lynch moving on. But now, seems like the Rams have their new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Joey Lynch, one-year offensive coordinator, off to Vanderbilt, which obviously is an SEC team, but low-tier SEC, and he's going as a quarterback, which is very fascinating to go from offensive coordinator to quarterback's coach. But it looks like today, John Budenmeyer, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, he's a quarterback's coach at Wisconsin, young guy. He played at Wisconsin until 2010 when injuries forced him to retire, basically. He's been quarterback's coach for 3 years. He's regarded as a good recruiter and good developer of quarterbacks, which is fitting for this position because CSU signed 3 freshmen in this class. So work to do in developing those youngsters.
Yeah, well, that'll be good to see that. And I think it's safe to assume Steve Adazio is not joining Urban Meyer now. He's building up that staff. So we've got that one answered. That was a conundrum for a while, Kevin.
Yeah, he did. I can say he did for sure talk to Urban Meyer. It was even, I believe, a full offer was discussed between them, but he decided to stay. So it was very legitimate discussions. It was a lot more than just some Twitter speculation. So that was a conversation, but yeah, Steve Adazio is in. He's staying at CSU, and we have actually another signing day coming up. It'll be a small class for CSU, but with this landing Budenmeyer as the OC, that should finalize their staff, barring any late departures.
Yeah, very interesting stuff, as always, from you, Kevin. Appreciate it, man. I'm pumped for this one tonight. Cannot wait. CSU, Boise State. Been looking forward to this one for the Utah State game for sure, but definitely excited about this one. So can't wait for it, Kevin. We appreciate your time, as always, and we'll try to catch up with you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Brady.
Thanks, my man. All right, Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and 38 minutes after the hour. We're going to jump gears, switch gears, talk some Denver Nuggets. They're going up against the Miami. Yeah, we're jumping gears here, Colfax. Yeah, that's a new thing. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.